Bottoms. That's the Bottom Nation national anthem. Memorize it, you little bottom. What's up, Bottom Nation? It is me, Ashley Gavin. That was silly. I'm just a silly Billy right now. Thanks for listening, guys. What a great episode this is with my friend Teresa. I'm going to get out into that in a second. But if you haven't seen me live, I'm going to Virginia. I'm going to Virginia Beach and Richmond, and then I'm going to upstate New York. I'm going to Syracuse, Albany, and Hartford in Connecticut. Then I'm going to the Midwest. We're going to Omaha. We're going to Des Moines. We're going to Kansas City and St. Louis. AshleyGavin.com to get those tickets or to sign up for my text list because, hey, your city might not be on the list right now, but it could be in the future. I just added Minneapolis, for example. We just added that today. So get on that text list. And then, of course, here in New York, you can see me every Sunday, or you go to Kate's show at Union Hall on the 28th of June, 10 p.m. Go check that out, katesis.com. And then today, I made friends with Teresa Lee, oh man, probably about 8 or 9 months ago. She's so, so funny. She did stand up at my show, and I thought, I have to have her on the podcast. And I did. And she has some amazing jokes about her. I don't know if she wants me to call it a breast implant surgery or a boob job, because she called it a boob job on the, I'm going to go with her words, about her boob job, questioning her gender, and also having lesbian sex with her boyfriend. I know that sounds problematic when I say it, but if you listen to the episode, it's actually really, really great. And I think all straight people need to listen to this. Although Teresa's not straight. Oh boy, how do I get out of this one? You guys know what I mean. Penis vagina sex. If you do that, you listen to this episode. And finally, patreon.com/WHGS. I dropped an hour-long crowd work special, I guess, on there. It's really fun, so go check that out. And bonus episodes, comps, all kinds of cool stuff. Patreon.com/WHGS. It really, 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 really fucking helps, and you can donate $1 a month. So go do that, please.
Listener, this episode is brought to you by Helix, my absolute favorite mattress. I am getting the best sleep of my life on a Helix. And you can too if you go over and take their little quiz, their 2-minute quiz. It's going to match you with the perfect mattress for you. And you'll be sleeping like a baby in no time. And right now, Helix is offering 25% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/gaysex and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
I'm dating a straight man, and I say we've had lesbian sex, and that sounds funny, but I mean, like, I've fully been, like, going down on him like his dick is a clit.
That's awesome.
I love, like, his dick is a clit. And the thing is, I really didn't used to like dicks. Like, I think I dated a lot of men before I was fully out that I was seeking attention from. And with my boyfriend, it totally made me rethink everything. I was like, oh, it is enjoyable. You just have to see it the way you appreciate women's bodies.
I've been cheated on, and I love that people are talking about it on stage.
Yeah, it's better to just talk.
It does. Like, even just thinking about it now, I get, like, a little emotional because it is truly traumatizing to be cheated on. It is, like, so brutal. Mm. It's actually, like, one of the most brutal. It sounds obvious, but the level of, like, being cheated on, I associate how emotional I get, like, with the death of my father. Like, it's, like, that level of, like...
Well, it brings back past trauma, because I felt that... It feels like you're taking away the rug or, like, you know, a safe space, which reminds you of all the things you didn't get as a child and whatever.
Abandonment. You know, someone running away. Wow, we got deep so fast. This is why, actually, we should probably introduce ourselves.
Okay, hello. I was like, are we recording? Okay.
But that's why I wanted to have you on. I was like, oh, we're going to have a therapy session.
What's up, Scorpios?
Because you and I were in Atlanta and we were getting lunch. Was it lunch?
Yeah, we went to that marketplace.
Yeah,
Ponce mini golf.
Market.
Yep.
Ponce City Market. What a nice little place.
So cute.
To play mini golf.
Well, and you were saying you've been playing a lot of mini golf.
I've been playing a lot of
She's going through a mini golf phase.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
It's funny because golf is such a lesbian sport, but you're not going all the way. You're just like, I'm microdosing.
What
the
are you
lesbian
bi? Sport. Are you bi? No. I'm just kidding. Wow. Bi erasure here. Okay. I'm out.
No, I've gotten yelled at before on TikTok for people when people say, are you bi? Like, and I'm, people were like, that's biphobic that you get upset. No, I hate men. You fucking idiot.
You can be
idiot.
Bi and hate men, okay?
Yeah, that's true. Look.
Dude, yeah. I actually feel bad for you. Honestly, I would. I love that I'm over here on my side of things. So planted.
I learned a lot about myself during pandemic because when TikTok was like fully a lesbian dating app, I like just like forgot that I had ever really liked men. But I realized that I have only, then I really thought about it. I was like, because sometimes people are like, you're on your journey. I'm like, maybe. But then I was like, I've actually liked three dicks, but then I've dated more than three men. But I was like, that's still like, yeah, I'm bi. Like, I'm not going to try to put myself in a category anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've agreed to just take the label. But yeah, I'm always like, I don't know. Take the bi drugs. Make the bi drugs. It's fine. I'm dating a straight man. So.
I'm a full-blown lesbian. Well, I want to introduce you real quick. Uh-huh. You're so funny. You did Sunday school a while back.
So
you
fun.
Were so great. You're so thoughtful. I loved talking. You're like the first person I booked because I was like, I just love talking to this person.
Oh, that's so nice.
Because you were so thoughtful. And you're so in touch with your feelings and your trauma. I thought the gays are going to fucking
love
this.
Which is hilarious. No. I have such good trauma. The best trauma.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No one has bigger trauma than me. And that is probably true.
Yeah.
That's honestly, no one has bigger trauma than the Trumps. The Trumps have so much trauma.
Oh my goodness.
That's why we're ruining America. We're bringing you guys down with us.
I just bust out my Andrew Yang impression or something. No, I don't have one. I don't have one. No, but
oh,
just
I was like, what an incredibly
no,
specific.
No, just because you said Trump. We're recording this podcast from 4 years ago. podcast. It's called You Can Tell Me Anything. And actually, it's funny you say that you like talking to me because that's where it came out of is like, I love, well, it's kind of therapy inspired, like confessional. So comedians confess something they want to get off their chest. But really, it's because people like to tell me things.
Yeah, you just have like such an openness to people's emotions. It's great. And a great comedian. Teresa Lee, everybody.
Yeah.
Soundboard.
Soundboard. Bow, 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 bow.
We did it, Joe.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. This is so fun.
Yeah. Do we banter more? I don't know how long we've been online.
I don't know.
Anything we want to say? Anything we want to add to the banter? Because the banter section, we're winding it down.
We're at Limestone. We're on the road.
We're Limestone.
We're in the hotel.
We're road tripping. It's another road trip episode from Indiana.
I can share one thing that probably will fold into the gay sex story that was related to what we just said.
Oh,
because I have a joke about, I'm not gonna do the joke, but we were talking about just like being inclusive, and it made me think of this because I had a joke about apologizing to soft dicks because I genuinely during the pandemic I was making a lot of jokes
apologizing to them that you've done something wrong or for their situation.
No okay, so
like oh, I'm so sorry that you're soft right now.
No, so quite the opposite, because I feel that while it is still kind of funny to me and guys laugh at it too, we got to the point where we're talking about like, don't make fun of women's bodies or, you know, anything that's like not cis straight hetero men. But then we are still going on stage and making fun of soft dicks, limp dicks, short dicks, short men in a way where it's like, there's always room for a joke that's, you know, if we're being inclusive, right? Like in the sense, like some short guys make short jokes. I'm not saying it's off topic or off limits, but I started thinking like, huh, at some point when we reach what we want, like that feels, it's body shaming. So I
think we're already there.
Yeah. So
I think we have to stop it. The men are very upset. They're taking away our rights again. And we have got to stop calling them short.
But here's what I found. Okay. You can include them as long as you acknowledge it. Right. Like, it's just like, I acknowledge. So I had to do a joke about we should all be allies of soft dicks in the sense that like, if you actually date someone with
an SDA.
SDA. I was like, hashtag no makeup, hashtag soft dick. But I genuinely, at first it kind of started as a punchline, like kind of bitty, but then men were like really into it. And I, like not sexually, they really felt represented.
Appreciated.
Yeah, and I realized like, oh, so I wanted to include. So, but my point is when I was doing it, a lot of my audience, I would just shorthand and say like, if you're dating a man or if you date. So I started realizing like, it's a little hard to do this like, because without taking out too much of the air, but if you're dating someone with a dick, but that's what made me think of that, because the idea was just that like, if you are in the straight world, which I came from sorority days, my sluttiest days, you know, you see a lot of hard dicks, but you don't see a lot of soft dicks. So you make fun of them when they're soft. But if you grow up with a dick and then you're dating someone with a dick, it might be different. So I was like, how do I incorporate that into the joke? And then I just settled on, it's fine, I'm just gonna introduce who I am and then they'll get it. But yeah, it was a definite like.
So I guess
process.
Your point of view is that I shouldn't make fun of soft dicks. That's
well,
what you're
I'm
saying?
Saying that women who make fun of a dick that's like, oh, I dated this guy and he couldn't get hard. It's like most of the time his dick's soft and he's like just trying so hard to make sure it's yes. ready to perform for you. That yes. I'm like, we should just normalize seeing the soft dick so yes. you're not like, ew,
I agree.
Soft.
I think the best kind of jokes that I've heard about that are when it's in relief to a like, oh, this guy sucked.
Oh, or
like,
yeah,
this
yeah, guy yeah.
is
yeah.
like, not nice on the date or something. I put up with all this rude behavior, treating me bad so I could get fucked, it's not hard, it's not working. Like, that's not an experience I relate to. Yeah. But I'm like, oh, it's in relief to that.
I mean, look,
it's in relief to that, so it's like, it is ultimately, like, obviously, I don't think, you know, sexism has been solved.
No.
So, if through the kind of symbol of mm-hmm. a cis man not being able to get an erection, you're like poking fun sure. at the patriarchy.
You're not poking hard enough.
yeah. You're just softly kind of lobbing pressure at the patriarchy.
Just mushing up against the patriarchy.
Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it would
context,
be,
yeah.
I think it would be sad if someone got up there and was like, my husband who I love, I'm going to make fun of his like
yeah, yeah.
limp dick. Like yes. that seems so sad. But well, if you're like, oh, I'm going through the absolute slog
yeah.
of being a straight woman or a bi woman or whatever, and being treated shittily by all these fucking Bumble dates, yeah. like living in yeah. a world where I'm getting fucking underpaid and all these men are catcalling me and hitting on me at bars, like, yeah, you can make fun of the soft dick.
Yes.
Like,
I think in those situations, we should actually celebrate more soft dick
yeah,
as a part
true.
Of breaking down the patriarchy.
And in some ways,
I feel like no hard dick should be allowed with everything going on.
Well,
hard dick should
right,
be
let's
off.
Not,
buy a strap
that's
on.
Buy a shirt.
No, you can still like munch on it a little bit. But
munch
chew it
on
like
it.
Taffy.
Oh my god!
I don't know. I don't fuck men. But I will say there's also the societal issue of like men not being able to have. There's way more erectile dysfunction
yeah.
now than ever due to porn addiction and yeah. anxiety and all these things. So it's just.
But then I think we should talk about
that,
right?
Problem.
It's
yeah.
the porn, like, because I mean, I've had situations where I've been like, time. I'm gonna like have some time to masturbate and like pull up, like really take the time to find a link, and then I just can't get into it. And I'm like, god damn it! And I'm like, am I? Like blue balling myself, you know. I'm like, but because I do get frustrated. I'm like, I wanted to come, but it's like I'm not gonna have that reaction against myself and just be like, well, I guess my head was on other things today, and that's it.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm like,
with,
we gotta
with,
have
it's funny that,
that
with
sort of.
Men, it's like treated as like something.
It's like, oh, he can't.
Yeah, but with women, yeah. it's like, ah, you know, they have to go grocery shopping. There's bills. They're stressed out. Well, I think we did it. I think we did the banter.
Yeah.
More dick banter than I'm used
I'm
to,
sorry.
I think. No, don't apologize. Never apologize. Again, I think this is actually, if we look at soft dicks as a sign of maybe women rising up.
Yeah.
I thought this was a great yeah. opening. Rising up, no pun intended. Like the men can't.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
My clit is rising up. Okay.
Rise up. No.
Clit hive.
We need a clit, rise like up. A clit rise up sign.
Clit
maybe like a little
hive.
Knuckle.
Clit hive.
A knuckle. Rise up!
This is our. This
I
is
do
our...
do a joke that has an act out where I do the knuckle clit.
Yeah.
Really?
How about this?
Yeah.
This is the new.
Solidarity.
It looks like one of my vibrators. Well, like rabbit.
We are not in the apartment, but we are having gay sex. We're having gay sex in Indiana, and it needs to. We need to be having gay sex in Indiana as activism. And I haven't actually had gay sex here in Indiana. No, I haven't. long time ago, very long time ago, but not full blown sex, just hooking up. Anyway, I am Ashley Gavin. I'm a cis gay white woman. She, her pronouns. Yep. I'm tired, guys. Patreon.com/WHGS. I am tired. I am tired. We're bringing on a new team member, which is cool. But we have to pay them. So please help. I'm tired. I'm going to buy patreon.com/I'm tired and see if that'll help. And as always,
yes.
my cancel coach to keep me from getting canceled, the fat in the chat. You play any sports growing up?
Dance.
Oh, nice.
That's true.
We
haven't
done any breakdancing type of stuff, like spinning on your head.
I almost had hopscotch
dance?
When you
hopscotch.
But I don't know why. I wasn't even like great at hopscotch. I just thought, no, I
foursquare.
Jump rope, tetherball. I was never good at sports. I envied the soccer girls for sure. They all seem so close.
Tetherball is kind of funny because you got a big long string involved and a ball attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like something. Mm-hmm. You're smacking it.
Oh yeah.
That's kind of like, sexual.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I never thought about it that way, but you're making me revisit memories.
Yeah. maybe something like. How can we get someone to wind around his pole like the rope on the tetherball court? Chelsea, you heard me.
Oh my God.
I think you were going to go with the ass with the smack.
I thought so too with this.
But now I'm like, what part are you smacking?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he knows either.
Just a good old nutsack slap.
The nutsack slap, Kate Sisk.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Kate Sisk, the cancel culture fat in the chat. I am a white bisexual lesbian dyke. Any pronouns are good to go. My gender of the week, as submitted by the listeners, was, I guess, a dolphin. And for this reason, that if you listen to the podcast at double time and I'm constantly laughing, it sounds like... so I appreciate that. I appreciate whoever is listening to the episodes efficiently.
A lot of people are listening at double speed, and it makes me wonder, are the pods not fast enough? Like, with the jokes, are we not telling enough jokes?
I feel like, yeah, wow, I forgot that people do
that. I wonder how that sounded when I did the dolphin thing at double speed.
Oh my God.
If I'm already going,
right in, listener.
Did it break the sound barrier?
It's just like, worship Satan, worship Satan. And do you mind introducing yourself, kind of using same format? And I'm going to check the cameras while you do.
Okay. Hi, I am Teresa Lee. I am a cis, bi, / queer. What else am I? I sometimes identify as a bot. Eventually, I do think the bots will take over, and you'll all see that they actually think the least binary out of all of us. It's true. We won't get into it today, but if you know what I'm saying, DM me. I am dating a straight man. Just want to get that out there. He doesn't have a podcast, so that makes me the boyfriend. So okay,
that's great. Funny. I love
any
that.
Any pronouns?
She, her.
Nice.
All right. Cool.
Sweet. Yes.
Well, I'm doing my own finger blast from the past. To even call it a finger blast, I think, is problematic because I'm going way back to my wee days of life, because you've got the therapy podcast. So I think we should go super
deep.
Let's do it.
I'm going back to when I was like 5, 6 years old.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about
Greer born yet?
Greer was barely alive.
Mm.
There's a great video. This is not gay sex at all, but there's a great video of my sister in a sandbox.
Aww.
And she's a baby. I mean, an actual little baby. Uh-huh. As probably whatever age that you can successfully get into a sandbox and want to play.
Uh-huh.
That's how old she was.
Yeah.
And my dad is filming her. My dad filmed everything.
Did he talk?
Yes.
That's nice.
And my dad zoomed in on her in the sandbox, and she's going, she puts her finger in the sand. She gets some sand on her finger.
Mouth.
Brings it up, and my dad's going, no. No. And she just fully does it. And he's like, no, no. Doesn't anything about it. No actual parenting.
No water, no.
Oh, and then just down again. No.
Again? Oh, no.
No. Very funny. Little clip of my
that's
sister.
Hilarious. I guess if you don't have teeth, maybe that's not such a bad experience.
Yeah, develop some immunity
something.
Teeth is what makes sand suck in your mouth.
So it doesn't get stuck in your stomach?
That is such an incredibly specific point of view.
I'm serious.
When you're all gums, sand in your mouth is lovely.
Sand in the mouth. Who cares? It's chomping of anything.
Listener, write in. Oh, have you taken out your dentures and put a big old wad of sand in your mouth? Is it pleasurable, the experience? Let us know. Kate says yes.
Well, all I'm saying is that the teeth is what makes it bad for me. It doesn't taste
how
bad.
How often are you chomping on sand?
You're at the beach, you accidentally get, you know, sunscreen on your lips, and then you eat your apple that you brought with you, and all of a sudden, it's like a bomb went off in your fucking ear, and like you got shot in the tooth. Like, it's awful. Or wow, like wow, when wow, you wow. don't wash your cilantro.
You guys watch your cilantro? Like leaks or something.
Okay, yes.
Got dirt in there.
Yeah. But that's an unwanted sand. If you were like, I know the sand is coming into my mouth because I'm putting it there.
But
I
I'm panicking.
I feel like the psychological
I'm panicking right
different.
Now just knowing that I have teeth.
This is going to be such a fucking weird episode.
I know. Well, so this actually relate. I can
imagine the therapist just being like, okay, and tell me what you're reminded of when you think of sand in your mouth.
That's hilarious.
But yes, so my dad was taping everything, which I loved because I was already super fucked up. Uh-huh. And I wanted to be on camera just all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so much of my play on camera was gendered. Mm. Like I would do, you know, remakes of Disney movies, but I was always the prince or like
Which
Aladdin.
Which one was your favorite? Okay, Aladdin.
I liked the Aladdin because I liked the idea of taking my shirt off, but having like a little vest, like an open little thing
Aladdin,
on. I loved that. And in my mind, these were shot for shot remakes, just by the way. If you watch them, they are not shot for shot remakes. But in my mind, I was like, I'm recreating this. And there were other ones. I used to swim with shorts on which is not something my sister did.
Mm.
Very interesting. I used to swim with shorts on. And I know this probably crosses over between gender and sexuality, these experiences. I'm sure people who are trans experience this. But I also think, like, from my perspective, it's because somewhere in my brain, I already knew I was not like other girls and I had no representation. So the boys made the most sense to me.
Because they got to be with the girls.
Because they got to be with the girls.
My twin sister would wear bikinis and I didn't. And I would get tankinis, which is very bi. I was like, I don't know where I fit in. So I'm going to do the thing that doesn't look good on anyone.
I definitely had tankini years as well, which was my mom did not want me to have a two-piece because she saw it as sexualizing. But she was tired of me getting my fucking one-piece wrapped in a little tight rope when you have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
And then just yelling from inside, Mom, I'm stuck. Mom, I'm stuck.
But so as early as kindergarten, I would run around the playground at recess trying to kiss the girls.
Bold. See, I
boys
just
in my school did that.
Yeah,
the boys did that. I would get them to chase me and then chase them back because I like the chase.
The chase.
I don't know
the,
what that means.
The chase is the fun part.
Yeah,
the chase is the fun part. I'm running around. I have this distinct memory of like grabbing one of those poles you could slide down and like swinging like a little group of girls going mwah, 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 mwah,
yes,
mwah, mwah, mwah. And then they all ran away screaming, you know, and that was like so fun. And I would laugh and I loved playing this character of this man that no one wanted, sort of a misogynistic character that wouldn't exist today.
Pepe Le Pew.
Pepe Le Pew.
Pepe Le Pew. Yeah. I fucking love Pepe Le Pew.
Johnny Bravo, another role model.
But that's the funny thing is back then you could have this sexual assault that was happening in these Looney Tunes. Borderline, at least definitely harassment, possibly sexual assault of these guys chasing after these girls. And I was like, I want to be that.
That's so fun. Were there boys doing that or you were the one who created
it? I don't remember if there were other boys doing it. I was definitely the alpha. I know that.
I would chase, now that you're saying this, is making me revisit these memories. I would chase the most effeminate boys that the other guys didn't feel, like they were like... I like them though. Those genuine crushes. I didn't like pick them out, but I think I always have been attracted to like the mix up of femininity and masculinity.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
But I didn't ever see, because I didn't know you could be gay yet, so I never even considered chasing the girls. But I would braid their hairs.
That's the other side of.
But I would do just about the most intimate thing you could do with another.
I would be like, draw my back. I'll draw on yours.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Oh, that was so fun. Oh, yeah, the tingles.
So the thing is,
crack an egg on your head and let the yolk
trickle down to
your clit. Oh my god!
Why am I touching your clit right now?
I'm touching your clit right now. You're standing on the top of the Empire State Building. I am proposing to you.
You're writing me a love poem. It's bound in leather.
Oh, that's so fucking funny. Oh man, you someone take that bit. I don't know who. I think that's your bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. So somewhere between
it's yours. A gift.
You can have it. You can.
But that's a great bit. But yes, I never felt like I could do that because I always knew I had the masculine energy, and if I started to do something intimate like that. Mm. Like, because when I was running around the playground kissing, it was a joke.
Did you ever catch one?
No. It was a bit.
Because you didn't want to catch them.
I didn't want to catch them.
You wanted them to run.
It was purely the chase, and it was a bit.
Uh-huh.
Doing, like, holding the hands, like, touching, like, that kind of thing, that was real.
Yeah,
because
okay.
I'm so masculine, that would be, like, that's, like, what two femme friends do.
You didn't want to be misunderstood in a way that made you feel singled out.
It was just terrifying because it felt like they would know that I was actually gay and not just pretending to be Pepe Le Pew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there was this one time where this girl in my class, I can't say her name because one of her parents ended up being a very famous artist.
Oh, nice.
So I don't want to give her away.
Lena Dunham.
But one time she came over and you know how kids, they'll do like sexual things with Barbie dolls. They'll make them like kiss and stuff like that. I didn't really do a lot of that myself because maybe because I had the outlet of being Pepe Le Pew. But she was like, oh, let's go into the bathroom. And I don't know if she phrased it as practice or like a secret club that we were going into. Mm-hmm. But she was a year older than me, which made it scary at the time because every year when you're that young is actually quite large.
Huge,
So we go into the bathroom. She closes the door and she's like, oh, yeah, we become like spit sisters or something. Yeah.
White people are crazy. No, I'm just kidding.
I know this. It's where you bend over and you spit in each other's assholes. You know that childhood game?
Yes, it's so much fun. You actually spit on your hand. You go patooey, and then you start.
Patooey.
It's
like a French comic.
But patooey, the most sexy word in the English language. Patooey. But she goes, we have to touch tongues, the tips of tongues, and to become spit sisters. Like
she kind of knew there was something scandalous about it because she wanted to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Close the door.
Interesting.
Yeah. Exactly. So that was a early gay moment where I felt maybe I would have even with a boy felt weird about it.
Yeah.
But I have heard other people, including my sister, who had a full wedding with a kid from down the street.
Oh, interesting.
They had a full wedding ceremony when my sister was 5 or 6. And they like staged a wedding and they like, I think they may have did a little peck.
Someone did that in our kindergarten. There was like the boy and the girl who everyone was like, they're the couple. And we were like, the wedding today, get flowers. And I had been a flower girl before. So I was like, I'll be the flower girl. I was picking flowers. But that's wild because I always hear about people, you know, like kissing girls who are straight or whatever, or like, you're more likely to experiment if you don't have that line almost, or if you already know and you're like totally down. But I never experimented growing up, and I, not that I wouldn't have been down, it was this like block.
So it was so scary when she, I don't know, write in if you're straight or did this with a boy. I want to know if it felt as terrifying just because it was sexual and you like knew that sexuality was wrong in some way. But for me, it felt I think because I knew I was gay somewhere in my head, I knew this was wrong and I shouldn't be participating in this. And I was like terrified, but I just did it anyway. And we did our tongues and I'm gay now. So it worked.
That's so.
Is she gay?
I don't know. Maybe I'll look her
up.
A
lot of the girls I had crushes on in elementary school ended up being, well, they were always gay, but like they were like the popular girls who like I idolize as like, you know, this straight culture blonde cheerleader girls.
And they ended up gay?
Yeah. At least two of them. One of them became a model and literally like, I stalked her in like college to see, I don't know what she's doing now, but she was like married to a model and I think she was modeling in Paris and they're both like living in their Paris apartment. That's like two beautiful like fashion lesbians. And I'm like, oh, no wonder everyone liked you. And I wasn't wrong. Like,
That's funny because I feel like the popular girls in Massachusetts just like ended up hooking up with the Bruins and the Red Sox.
They continued
to be the like epitome of like straightness.
What high school did you go to, if you don't mind saying?
I just went to public school in my town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my gay sex from this week.
Nice.
Listener, don't forget to support the Patreon, patreon.com/WHGS. That's how we pay
Alex, he is a full-time employee of the podcast. We could not pay him on ads alone. That's how we pay Kate. And of course, me also. This is full-time work. So please consider going and donating. And in return for those donations, you get bonus episodes. You get comped tickets when I'm in your city. You get extended, unfiltered, uncut episodes, weekly access to my Zoom stream of my show in New York, and lots of other stuff. Patreon.com/WHGS. Listener, do not miss me when I'm in your city. I know you miss my TikToks and my Instagram posts, and sometimes you skip podcast episodes. I'm only in town once a year, so let me text you once a year when I'm in town, or I can email you ashleygavin.com. There's going to be 25 cities on this tour. Don't miss your city.
Listener, spring has sprung. Love is in the air, and that means you need your Helix mattress. You don't want to bring a girl home and have her crawl into your bed and feel like shit the next day, and then she takes it out on you and never sees you again. Help your boo thang get a good night's sleep on a Helix mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/gaysex. Take the 2-minute mattress quiz, and you'll find out which mattress is best for you. And it's no stress. You get 100 nights to try it. And there's a 10 to 15 year warranty. So don't sweat this decision. But I know you're going to love it because you don't have to take my word for it. Helix has been awarded the #1 mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/gaysex and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
These days, you can't go anywhere on the internet without running into the most horrible takes.
You know, your good old-fashioned homophobes, or your self-proclaimed alpha males, who are writing 2-page articles titled, How to Score the Perfect Female in 10 Days.
If you are just as sick of these outdated takes as we are, you will love our podcast, Outspoken, hosted by me, Sam Collins, and my incredible partner, Shannon.
We are an LGBT couple who have seen it all, been called it all, and are ready to take on the never-ending world of outrageous online opinions.
Each week, we bring you the most ridiculous videos, hot takes, and hellbent news we come across on the internet.
So come laugh with us as we dismantle outdated ideologies and tear apart the most confident idiots on the internet on our podcast, Outspoken.
You can follow and listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you are listening right now.
Teresa, did you have gay sex this week?
Well, I've been traveling, so I did not have any sex this week, but I will share, this is kind of related to what we were talking about earlier, because I'm dating a straight man, and I've been trying to figure out how to say this on stage, but it's, I think podcast is the better place to say it, but we've had like, I say we've had lesbian sex, and that sounds funny, but I mean like, I've fully been like, going down on him like his dick is a clit.
That's wait, awesome. I love
like his dick is a clit, and he's cool with it, but like, in the way where it's like, none of us knew what was happening, kind of like, cause like.
That's the best sex when you discover something insanely different than what you've been doing and no one has ever told you about this. And you're like, this is the coolest thing in the entire world. I made it. It's like, you're the, I don't want to say Christopher Columbus cause it's not.
I made up a new sex.
Leif Erikson. You're the Leif Erikson. Is he problematic? Do we know?
I have no idea.
He's the one who may have actually discovered America. Okay.
Well, then he's probably problematic. But
who's, I don't know, someone else.
Sure, God. No, Athena. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with Athena.
Well, okay, I'll say this because, like, he is, like, I say that he's, like, a hot boy, like, in the sense because, like, I always used to date comics and he's seems like a different world to me. He's like, I went to college and I'm happy and I work out and I go to music festivals. I'm like, what?
So he doesn't have as much trauma.
But he does, but he dealt with it.
Ah, that's good. Yeah. So I'm like, that's what the fuck? Best.
But the thing is, I really didn't used to like dicks. Like, I think I dated a lot of men before I was fully out that I was seeking attention from. And then once I came out and I moved to LA, I was very like, oh, really like wanting to be like a slutty bi girl, just like hooking up with other girls. But I never like would have sex with guys and really enjoy, like I enjoyed the love and attention, other things. I wasn't like against it, but I was never into the dick. And with my boyfriend, it totally made me rethink everything. And I think it's because I also healed a lot of trauma, did a lot of work right before we met.
Yeah.
So I like shifted my brain programming.
Yeah,
but I'll literally be like into his dick, but not, because it's a I don't know, it's hard to explain because I'm into him, but it reminds me of when I've like really enjoyed going down on girls, like women. Sorry, they're women. They're of
it's
age.
Okay. I just say girls because it's. I sometimes like to say I'm a girl.
I think it's fun. I think it's fun and flirty. People call me a woman. I do kind of want to kill myself.
I want to be a little baby girl.
I look. It's definitely
of age. A little baby girl.
This is like coming back to the early conversation about like words like that. Like.
Yeah.
It's definitely more, I think it's more about vibe than an intention than.
Like if you're my boss and we're equals in a professional setting, don't call me a girl in front of the men or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But yeah, so I will like, I had that thought while it was happening. Like I was like, oh, it is enjoyable. You just have to see it the way you appreciate women's bodies. I was like, but he was into it because then I was super, and it was funny because I didn't tell him till later, and I did tell him because I wanted to do a joke about it. I was like, is this okay? I don't want to make you feel like.
Is he okay with this?
Yeah, he's like, say whatever you want, baby.
I imagine everyone at home has a lot of questions about mechanically.
Well, he can go for a long time, so that's why I feel like a frat boy because I will be. Like that's what I mean. I will have lesbian sex. I'll just like come a bunch. We can get graphic on this. I'll like come a lot.
Do you need me to talk about my asshole for a second? To like, because usually I'm like incredibly graphic.
Wait, yeah, okay. Yeah. Wait. Are you saving this for another episode? If so, you can cut it. Did the MILF fuck you in the ass?
No, I didn't get fucked in the ass by the MILF.
Okay, I just needed.
We never had sex.
Ugh, painful.
I did. Fully put my face in her boobies and like not be able to breathe.
I
will never forget.
I love that you brought up boobies because I got a pair of fake tits last year and I think it made me gayer because I was just like looking at my own tits, like just fondling them. But I'm like,
wait, did you get them as a sex toy or you got a boob?
No, I got boobs.
Oh, nice.
I got boobs. Well, because I had heart surgery and
are there boobs just like that boobies? You can buy that you can put your face in?
There's boobs, there's butts, there's pussies.
Are you serious?
There's all kinds of stuff.
But they're not connected to.
I would totally jerk off with just a set of boobs on my face.
Disembodied boobs?
What's that?
Disembodied boobs just look like. Like eyeballs.
The butts scare me. The butts do scare me. No judgment to anyone who uses the butts, but when I see it, it's frightening to me.
Go on.
Because it does. It looks like a person got cut into pieces.
It's just a body and it's scary.
Some people are into that.
That's not what. I don't think the people who are using
Army Hammer. Army Hammer.
Oh my God.
I think the people who use the butts are just able to hyper focus.
Yeah. They're really good at visualizing like, the rest of the body. Yeah.
Instead
of
me being like, it's a disembodied ass.
Oh my God.
I was wondering if you were going to talk about it because you have some jokes about your boobs.
Well, I'll fold it into the gay sex because.
Yes, you were saying you
okay,
come
so
on.
I guess I'll be, to be specific, I'll think the time that I first discovered the dick, it could be a clit sex.
I fucking love this.
It was
because our listeners are going to love this.
I will say, like, it wasn't just like the whole dick is a clit. I like folded it up and found the clit. You know what I mean? Like, there is.
You
I mean, it's maybe not there.
It up?
No, but like, well, like,
please,
like
I don't.
The frenulum?
No, no. Like,
frenulum,
okay, so like, there's the dick.
Is there
but
a
then,
frenulum
like,
on a dick?
On the shaft, you know, where the clit would like instead of having like a like the clit's kind of little. I just imagine the dick is like a very elongated clit.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I'm like doing, but obviously I know it's not a clit. Okay. I know people going through transition. I might be using the little binary with the genitals. So. Apologies for that, but my experience with this straight man who very much has only ever had straight sex, you know, it was really interesting to, and he knows my sexuality is very supportive to have me just like explore and him being like, that feels great. So sure, whatever. And then me being joking, like I'm a frat boy because I would just like come a lot and then like die. and then somebody be like, baby, did you come? And be like, no, it's okay. I'm gonna get a beer. And then like, I'm back in it later.
Yeah, but
that time I remember being like, whoa, we quantum leap because literally it felt like we were like talking about the future. Like we were in the bathtub and
this is very lesbian. We were in the bathtub talking about the future.
At one point, we were just kind of like soaking for a bit. So I was like sitting and he was behind me, you know, legs there. And then I had the vision that I was giving birth to our baby. And I was like, and I'm not the girl who talks about wanting a family. So this is like uncharacteristic for me. But in that moment, it was like lesbian sex. We connected. I was like, baby, when I have your baby. Like,
this is what it's gonna feel like. I was like, look, I'm like, and he was into it. He was like, oh man, yeah, yeah. And then it's, but here's the thing. It's like, it was truthful. I wasn't putting on a thing. Right. But later we both laughed about it. We're like, what was that? I don't know, but yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. You opened a part of your brain that you don't necessarily open when you're not in a sexual mode.
It seems like a super like unfettered, like, level of consciousness almost.
It did feel like we were almost like we were in our bodies, but also experiencing our bodies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're present. You're in a specific kind of flow state.
Yeah. And that's, and I, when I, before, when I've had sex with women, I always like, they couldn't ever compare to men, like men, or the opposite, like men would never compare to the experience I felt like sexually satisfied in that sense. But like, I got other things from men and like, it was fine. Like, you know, whatever. Not, no offense to the men that I've fucked. But those
ones.
And they're
definitely watching.
But yes, they're definitely watching. No, those ones also were a lot of unhealthy relationships. So I wasn't coming into it with the clarity. And when I entered my relationship with women, it tended to be more, we started on an open, safe space where we often bonded over emotions before. So this is my first experience dating a man who has emotionally gotten me there and physically, and it's almost wild. Sometimes I feel like I'm a fraud because I'm like, I'm having, that's why I called it lesbian sex. I know it's not, but I'm like, this isn't straight sex. It's, or maybe it's just sex. Maybe I've never had real sex. Like, is
sex,
this just
off
sex?
The script.
Like, but I was like, this can't be what everyone's been doing this whole time except for me, right? Like, this is something different, right?
I think there's a truth both literally in the activity that you're doing, different than standard.
Yes.
So I think in that way, it's like queer, but also because you are queer, you're bringing your queerness to the sex. The other person is fully accepting of it. Then like the sex is queer, right?
Yeah. I also think like what like heterosexual sex has a script that you don't have to participate in if you're heterosexual. But I do think that when you don't participate in it, you are getting closer to what lesbians might say. Mm. Oh, you had lesbian sex. Like, you licking on a dick like it's a clit for, like, an extended period of time is, in some ways, gayer, in my opinion, than some of the sex I've
had. Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. Because let's be clear, when I'm saying, like, this is hours, you know, like, the whole thing lasted. So, like, and I'm, like, I've never fucked a guy for hours when he have him not finish. I'm sure it happens, but, you know. I'm not saying like, oh, I'm so cool, but like, I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm not like,
okay, flex.
I'm just saying that this felt like we were present. It wasn't like he was like, oh, I gotta finish. It was like, we were just having sex.
Yeah.
And it just lasted. And we were having stages of it and like experiencing journeys and emotions. And it was cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, well, this is probably too much to get into, but I'll give you the bullet point because it is a big conversation. And I've done a solo episode on my pod, so if you are curious the whole story, but I went through when I was questioning, I thought I might be trans because I didn't know you could be bi, really. Like, I liked women, and then I also had sexual feelings for men sometimes, so I was like, maybe I'm a gay guy trapped in a woman's body. And when I was born, I had a heart defect, but also the doctor had told my mom that one of the twins was a boy and one was a girl. We don't know which. I have a twin and she's the straight one, but I was named I'm named the boy name and she's named the girl name in Chinese. So then,
what's the name in Chinese?
It's Tai Yi and she's Zenny, but it can be gender neutral. So
wait,
they never changed
it.
Cute
names together.
Oh, thank you.
I love when twins have cute names.
Aww. But they never changed it. And then at birth, the nurse got her name wrong because she was like, is it Jenny? And my mom was like, oh, they're going to have issues with this. So she named us on the spot. Like, and since it was another girl, she just named me after her college friend. But I used to wonder, like,
well,
was I actually a boy?
It's funny that your name's Teresa, because did you say Tai?
Tai, yeah.
Tai. I could imagine in your take, because I took Chinese, I studied Mandarin.
Yeah.
I can imagine some student getting that name from Teresa, like your friend Teresa's in class. I could see that.
Yeah. That's so interesting to be like, maybe I was the boy.
Well, so I went
through. So how did you come to the conclusion that you were?
I started, this was like in when I was a sophomore in college, so it's maybe like 2009, 2010. So I was on forums. I went to like the NYU like health center or whatever. And I, you know, I'm glad that I had those resources and I was fully like exploring. I'm very Virgo moon. So I was doing research way early than I needed to, you know, like I was looking up what it would take to do the transition before I had even like fully identified. But ultimately I even found a blog post of a guy who had already transitioned, who was an Asian graduate from NYU who's Taiwanese, so many similarities, and a couple of years ahead. So I was like, it's a sign, But I ultimately explored more hooking up with women and then became more aware that you could be queer and like both men and women, or all, you know, now I include other genders. But at the time it was like, oh, like new world. So yeah. Then I kind of realized that I don't think that was it. But it's interesting because I've always had a bit of like questioning about my body, and I think it comes from my heart surgery. Mm-hmm. So the boobs thing is funny because I just went, you know what? I want titties. I like titties and I like to have them too. And it's fine.
Yeah.
But it is funny because sometimes people are like, I'm like, oh, is it, if I have titties, does that make me more straight? Because then I'm male gaze. But then I'm like, but also I like titties.
And I also I like
my
titties.
Yeah. So I'm like, so I can like my titties and I can date someone who has titties. Not right now, but you know. So in some ways I feel like it made me gayer, but on the outward level, like it made me more accepting of who I truly am, if that makes sense, which feels gayer. But on some level I am presenting more straight because I'm now with a straight man. And huge knockers. No.
can I ask a personal question about the boob job?
Yeah.
Do you still have sensation in your nipples?
I do, but I also, so part of it was my boobs weren't even. Like I basically didn't have boobs, but the surgery, I have a scar and they were uneven. So I wanted to get them evened out, but then I was like, make them bigger.
Nice.
And yeah.
throw it in there.
As long as I'm going under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knock me up twice.
I did, like, I went in Beverly Hills and everyone there, like all the women who worked there were like very stereotypical, like, you know, new to LA wanting plastic surgery for cheap. So they all look beautiful, but they all have so much work done and they love it. Like it's like a happy, positive place. My nurse literally was like, she was Asian, and so I asked her because we were connecting on like culture stuff, and she was like, I love this job because I'm a doctor, my parents are proud, and I get free, like I get discounts, and also I make people happy. Like nobody comes in like sad they have cancer. They're all like, I want tits.
They're like, I'm self-actualizing.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, beautiful. But I went in there with a Hawaiian shirt because they're like, you should wear something that's like buttonable, easy to take on and off.
Oh yeah.
I feel like sometimes girls will dress like, I don't know, because it's like you know, you don't want to dress a fancy because it's a surgery.
Yeah.
But you walk in, it's a, you know, elective surgery. So I was like, I'm going to wear an outfit. So I definitely walked in super queer. And I joke that I walked
That's
in
so
like
cool.
a 12-year-old boy and walked out a 50-year-old dad because I was in a freaking button down and like combat boots or whatever. And I was like,
there's a lot more in the shirt when you left.
Yeah. It was kind of funny because I think the nurses did double take. They're like, interesting, because it's so Beverly Hills, and then it's like, why is she, what's happening? Okay.
I love that.
Well, that's such great gay sex. Really great.
Thank you.
We're going to go to Kate. Kate, did you have gay sex this week?
Oh, boy. Okay. Yesterday, we had our live pod, which is great. And then I was walking down the street, and this woman was like, Kate, sis, let me buy you a beer. And I took her up on it. She was with this other girl. Woman, sorry. And
you're canceled.
They listened to the pod. They were so fucking cool, and I was like chatting with them.
I have a feeling I know who this is.
I told them I was gonna mention this, and so I hope it's okay. They didn't say I couldn't, but anyway, so I'm talking to both of them, and I was like, oh, so you guys are together? And they were like, well, this is our second date.
Ooh.
I was like, I can leave if you want me to. If that was just like an empty kind offer that I weirdly took you up on,
were they
I'm
at the live pod recording?
I think so, yeah.
I know who this is.
But so then I was like, I just like sat with them while they were on their second date, and it was so lesbian because
you sat down with them on their
on
second
the date.
Yes.
What
so
was
they
the
like
date?
Were
Describe
doing
the
date.
They had gone to the live pod, and then they were doing they were having a beer.
You made the date because you were part of the date.
I didn't know when I sat down that I was sitting down on a date. I made that mistake.
You
before.
Should have charged them. You were like hosting the date.
You were hosting.
You emceed that date. Yeah.
You're the gay Chris Harrison.
Oh my god.
I was like, and now you must choose. But it was like
you
it was
set
so
down the
lesbian.
Rose between
oh
them.
It was so deeply lesbian because they live in different places.
Oh my god.
Okay, wait. Was like, one from Oklahoma lesbian. And one from Indiana?
No.
Bleep these names. Was one of them named?
No.
That's so funny.
There's multiple.
Because I was also on like a long distance date with some listeners from the podcast.
Are you
show.
Serious? Oh
there god. Are two sets. Of podcast listeners who are on long distance dates
in Indiana right now. Honestly, there's probably more.
I got to say to the listeners, I fucking love you guys. And to those specific gals that I was hanging out with, I just had a great time with you guys. But oh, it was so funny and so deeply lesbian. But I'm always having panic moments about, like, one time I was hanging out with some other comics and they had been dating each other. So I was like, oh, and we were all on the same show. So I was like hanging out with them. I was like, well, this isn't really a date because we were all just working. And so I was hanging out with them. And then I realized that they like weren't really together anymore. And
the
I
comics.
Was like, yeah. And so I was like,
there's a pair of comics here that used to date.
No, this isn't here. This is
no, but that kind of stuff happens because they don't always want to. They want to act cool, but
yeah,
you
so then
not.
I'm like, oh my god, am I sitting in worse than sitting in on a date? Am I sitting in on what was supposed to be like
a talk?
But I had accidentally gotten blasted after the show. My social skills were out the window.
And they're so good to begin with.
Fuck you. My social
I say that as another socially off-putting person.
I just like, yes, socially I don't always function great. But to be also drunk on top of that, I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. Am I not supposed to be? Like 3 hours into hanging out, I was like, am I not supposed to be
here? You were with them
here?
For 3 hours?
Well, you know, the show's like an hour and then we hung at the venue for a little and then we went to dinner.
Oh, wow. Dinner. Okay, so it was a dinner, not just drinks.
Yes.
You gave them enough time to change their mind.
The comics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You give people 3 hours, you know, maybe they don't end up breaking up. You might have saved the relationship.
Anyway, so yesterday I was panicking and I just said to the girls, I was like, hey, if it's weird that I took you up on the beer, I'm happy to leave and let you guys have your date without
There's no way those little bottoms are going to say, yeah, get out of here.
Anyway, thank
so
you
did they
for
go
the
home together?
They're staying together for the weekend.
I bet you helped. I bet.
I hope.
You gave them something to talk about, too, that's like outside the nervousness of a second date. You know?
I really hope I helped because they were both very cool and very good looking.
I want to know if there's any weddings from your podcast that are, you know, because I'm
there
bet
are.
That have happened.
I got a card, actually, once. I might cry saying this.
Aww,
but
that's so sweet.
There was a pair of...
A pair.
I don't know why I said it like that. There were these two women that I think were friends and didn't know whether or not the other was gay.
Mm.
And then love they that. Both somehow figured out that they were listening to the podcast.
Oh my God, I love that.
And something on the podcast made them both laugh. And they used that instance to ask each other out. And now they're married.
That's adorable.
Holy shit.
I love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Anyway. Have you ever gone out with a listener? Are you allowed to
no,
say?
No, okay. Not really. I went on a couple dates with...
Who you met at shows.
One person that I would describe as an active listener.
Gotcha.
And that was not a good idea.
The two times I've dated girls who were... One was a girl who had seen a show, but then we matched on Raya, but she didn't bring it up till later. So that's how I knew she actually was a fan, because she was like, oh, I watched this thing.
Yeah.
And she was a Pisces. I actually really enjoyed dating her, but she got really upset over nothing. Like nothing. Like literally like me dating a lot of people and her dating a lot of people. And then suddenly her being like, you could tell me if you don't like me. I was like, when I cut things off, whatever. I totally validate her feelings, but I'm also like, yeah, no, I cut things off when I felt they were done, and not before or after. And she was like, I can't believe you didn't tell me earlier. I was like, I didn't know earlier, but now I know.
As soon as I said, I saw something and I said something.
But the other girl was like, she was very aggressive. Like mask energy came up to me after a show, and our first date, this is going to be the most lesbian thing ever. We read each other poetry from my iPhone notes, and we bonded over both because I love crying.
So that's a red flag.
I love crying to the Les Mis soundtrack, and I do talk about it on stage. It is a thing people know about me.
Wait,
so
the what soundtrack?
Les Mis soundtrack.
Oh yes, yeah.
And I don't now that I wonder if she was making this up, if she had heard this. I don't think I did this joke before actually, but we both found out because there's one specific song every time I listen to I cry, and we were like, say it at the same time, and it was Empty Chairs and Empty Tables, and we both did it, and we're like, oh my god, no way. But she I was like getting out of a breakup, so I wanted to take things slow, and then so I like was like, pause, see, you know, let's wait a week or whatever. And then like a month later she was like engaged. So I think she was looking for a wife. She was looking for a wife.
You dodged a bullet. Yeah. You dodged a bullet. Because that's a quick fucking turnaround.
Looking for a wife. But never have I gone out with a fan after.
I'm basically watching that happen in front of my eyes right now with someone that I was hopefully going to date seriously. And I'm.
Yeah.
So I totally relate to this.
Do you know people have started DMing me about it?
They have? Yeah. They're like, I'm really worried about Ashley. Yes. Have you seen what's going on
oh my
They
gosh.
Shall Not Be Named's Instagram?
Oh, no.
I feel bad for you that it happened. I feel worse for you that people are still on you about it.
This is the thing about the, and I'll say it now just as a reminder. This is 1 hour a week of my hundreds of hours that I live every week.
Yes.
And we tell these stories with comedic flair.
Yeah, yes. True.
And they are not fully representative of our entire lives. So I think people yes. thought that this that was a really bigger upset. Deal and they got into it and the parasocial thing
they
was happening.
They thought it meant more to you than it did.
Gotcha. Yes.
Despite the fact that it was, I mean, I as a friend reacted strongly because it was funny and
it
kind
was
of
hilarious.
Over the top.
Okay. It was hilarious. And I'm a simpy.
And a little brutal.
I'm a naturally simpy person.
Yeah.
And I, my brain has like, I know that I'm a simpy person. So like when I'm getting into something and I'm feeling like, oh, I really like this person. Oh, I'm falling in love with them. Like, you know, all that stuff. I already know in the yeah. other adult part of my brain that it's like, I'll let the little teenager have
yeah.
her fun.
But that's the most fun because as an adult, you can do both now. Because as yes. a teen, you really have the nerve. Sometimes the nerves overpower the desire
yes.
where you choke, right? But like as an adult, I feel like you can lean into the nerves in a fun way, but then yes. also you can pull back and be
and
like,
that's
all
what,
right.
And that's exactly what we were doing.
Yeah.
We were leaning into the fun and the tension and the all this
yeah.
stuff. But there was another part of me that was like, here's why this might not work. And here are the things that I've saw that like
yeah.
give me pause. And I obviously
and
not
I'm
gonna,
focusing on taking care of myself and
yes,
work
yes.
and family. Yeah. Like,
but I don't talk about those things on the podcast because
right,
they are not
right,
funny.
So it seemed like it was an all consuming.
Right.
They're
moment. Like, I know how much you deeply loved her and how you,
oh my
you
God.
Thought she was your person.
Hilarious.
And it's like, whoa, dude. Like, I love you guys. I'm so truthful, but you're not getting the full three-dimensional scope of my entire life.
For the record, I'm much sadder and doing much more poorly outside. No, I'm just kidding. I'm thinking about nothing else. Absolutely devastated all the time. No.
I want to just say one thing before we wrap up. Uh-huh. Because I said that I had hooked up with someone who listened to the podcast. This was truly like a one-time
oh,
thing.
Oh yeah, sorry, I didn't mean, I was, it was more like a lead in to be like, to why, the, why
yeah.
I don't anymore. But
it's tough because you do meet women who've heard the podcast. And I think that's different than
well, plus
someone who listens every week.
I wasn't
you know?
Like out that much before. Like I came out while I was doing comedy. So like there was something exciting about like people approaching me and
yeah.
I
yeah.
hadn't gotten my game legs yet, you know, like
yeah.
my flirting legs.
My
yeah.
flirting so, legs.
It was nice to have like
are your
desired.
Flirting legs your sea legs or your my, land legs?
Ooh, you know, I go deep sea diving.
I think sea legs because you're swimming in puss.
Yeah,
right?
I go deep sea diving, you know, but I can also go on the surface. I'm in the air. I'm in the sky. I'm in the caves. I'm
underground,
everywhere.
We're in a submarine.
Spelunking.
Get my hollow bird legs.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to clarify, yeah, like someone, Allie Colbert, like asked me how many women I had slept with after shows, and the number is so fucking small. It's like two or three in the since I started the podcast. I mean, it is just I just really don't want people getting the wrong impression. And when I meet these women, there's usually some dates in between that happening
yeah.
and assessing of whether or not there's a parasocial thing happening and if there's a power dynamic. There's all of that.
Yeah.
But it is getting tough to meet people that don't have some distant connection. I was on dates with this girl that I really liked and she was like, oh, my friends listen. And I was like, ugh.
You gotta get a Raya.
Wait, I know. I
Except
really...
then I didn't meet a girl who, yeah. The
I am on there. I haven't made a profile yet, but I'm thinking I really gotta put it together.
It's funny that you mentioned the after shows because I used to think like a lot of the sort of like cis straight guys who go on the road that like that's a dirty thing that not dirty but it's like, oh, so gross that they just go and hit on girls and then bring them back.
It's different.
But I'm like, it's when I think about meeting girls after shows,
it's almost like, I feel like the power thing is interesting because I feel like I date up after shows, whereas guys, you know what I mean? Like, yes. Guys will date, bring a girl back, and then they realize like, oh, this guy's kind of not as cool as he is on stage.
Yes.
Like, after I have a good set, I don't want someone to like spend time with me and then change their mind. But
break
if
the illusion.
Yeah, but if they're like, oh, hopefully I'm a rich ass woman with this mansion, come play. I'm like, now I feel like I don't have to take you back to my, you're not expecting me to have this cool ass penthouse. I got an access key. So that's the difference, I guess. I guess I'm just vain. I don't want people to see how I live. No.
I think, but I do think you're right, because sometimes when you're bringing, when you hook up with a girl that knows, and this is just such a rare thing, they get this other side of you. Whereas with the straight thing, I think the power dynamic is more,
yeah, they just
built,
want fuck or
built
whatever.
In.
Yeah.
Whereas with the lesbian thing, they're like, oh my God, I'm learning your feelings and your
and you're
secrets.
Like, oh my God, no. And I might lose a fan. I don't want to lose a fan.
And yeah.
Like when I broke up with
Kit. Well, I hope by spending time with those women on a date yesterday, I didn't seem less funny or
no, I think you
I
probably
the
they literally were like, we were trying to, what if they were trying to fuck you?
No. That was definitely not in play.
They weren't going for a threesome with the Kate Sisk on their second date.
There was no threesome vibes.
How do you know? Because women are so bad at approaching other women.
Right? You'll like go on a full date and then later.
She screamed at me on the street to have a beer. That was very effective.
Then you know what?
What? No. Definitely not.
I love the idea of you. I know. Let's just hypothetical world. Chelsea doesn't exist. Do you think that that's something that you would do?
A threesome?
Yeah. With two
strangers
girls
being picked
at
up
at the Limestone Comedy Festival. They're coming. We're in Indiana.
No. I don't think. I think in work mode. No, but at a party, probably
the right vibes. The vibes have to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at a party or like a concert or something, if a couple approached me, maybe.
I think being desired is really hot. So it's like,
yes.
Generally, oh, yeah. I'm not like just looking for a threesome, but the if they're picking you up and you can tell they respect you and respect each other, that to me is like super hot. But
yes.
If they're like looking for a unicorn to check some list off, then I'm like,
right.
Bye bye.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
If there was one of the most erotic things about a threesome in my mind is not saying it out loud. Like
that you have
to search an app. Yes. It's on an app and it's like searching for a third. I'm like, oh, kind of boring.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like that's.
You want it to happen organically.
What is the organic buildup, like, is this happening? Isn't this happening? I think reminds me of
like
early hooking up with,
yes.
with women, yes. Being like, is she into this? Am I into this? Like, what's going to happen? I'm afraid to
say
anything.
That's so funny. Am I into this? I was like, I am so into this.
But there was desire there, but it was kind of like, why am I into this? Maybe it was. I just remember hooking up with women originally. It wasn't like, hey, are you into girls and are you into me and would you like to kiss? It was like, we will just continue feeling each other out for like 5 hours until we like,
This is something about gay culture that I think the future queers are going to have less and less of. Yeah. That I know it doesn't matter. Liberation is so much more important than what we're talking about right now. But the suspense of trying to figure out if someone's gay and if you're gay. Like,
yes. Both at the same time, especially, it was like, wow.
I
mean,
I missed out on that. I just knew I was gay from the get-go.
This is it. You're bringing back painful like could have been, because like in college the girl that I like, we both ended up being bi. She's like in a very serious relationship now with a woman, but like we both came out after college and we just would have like dates where we weren't dates, we would hang out, but clearly now I'm like yeah we would just like sit on, make cookies, drink white wine, sit on our dorm bed just like next to each other like and it was, and then just talking about like, are you dating anyone, and talking about boys that like didn't matter, and it was like, now I think I feel, you know, excited for the next generation, because I got to have those like the first kisses in my like straight dating world, but I didn't get a lot of those like young moments. Like that should have been a fucking fun night, but neither of us were out to ourselves.
I think
young queerness will replace this kind of bizarre thing. Except people will always be figuring themselves out later in life, even when things are
I just wanted to make a move, and I was like, but I'm not gay, and she's not gay.
And won't be reaching total acceptance. I used to think to 100 years down the road, and now I think it's going to be 3 or 4. The planet, I think the planet will
people
die.
People will die off before.
Yeah.
Anyway,
before
so
queer
to,
liberation.
So, you know, climate disaster aside, what I'm saying about threesomes is...
Let's get to the important stuff.
It's the similar tension, and that's so erotic to me.
You like
that's true.
You like the chase.
Yeah.
And it's just people aren't as experienced with the three. It's like now there's more of a precedent. But before, people were like, we want to get to the end game of the threesome, but they didn't know how to date, which is like how you get to date as a teenager. You do it wrong, but you get time to fuck up and fix it.
Yeah.
And now it's like 30-year-olds who are like, I want to date as a couple. And then they're like, want to hold my hand. It's like that. But you don't have the transition of your teens and your 20s to figure it out. So read a book. I don't know.
Yeah, read a fucking book, you idiot.
Read a fucking book. And speaking of which, Teresa's new book that's out is called...
Yeah, what do you want a butt plug?
My butt plug is... Well, I'm going to have you on my pod, so hopefully by the time you guys listen, it'll be shortly coming out. But okay. Or maybe. I don't know. But listen to my podcast. You can tell me anything. And follow me online at Teresa Lee Bott.
And nice. She's so funny. Anything you want a butt plug?
KateSisk.com for my mailing and text list, please. Thank you to so much to everyone that signed up so far. It's so helpful. At the KateSisk on Insta and Twitter. And you keep your eyes out in any of those places for news on the Lucas Spectacular.
You fucking know. Please don't disappoint me. I'm hoping Alex zooms in.
Zooms in, yeah.
It'll be weird if he doesn't.
That's funny.
Don't zoom in.
Thanks for listening, guys. One more time for the Patreon. Not possible. Truly, truly not possible. We're bringing on another team member, and we're trying to look into expansion in other ways. Also, it's just honestly for a lot of people really tough right now, and I know that, and there's no pressure to donate. But if you can donate, if you can afford $1 a month, this is a great time to do it because we got to keep this project funded. And it is because of you guys, and I'm so grateful. So patreon.com/WHGS, ashleygavin.com, katesis.com for tour dates. We're coming through the Midwest, Virginia, upstate New York, Kate's show in New York City. And for the gay thought, I've been thinking a lot about gay mating rituals, particularly with lesbians. I'm sure you guys know about hanky code, which is what gay men used to do a long time ago, when before people could really come out. You'd wear a different color hanky in a different position to let people know kind of what you were into and who you were looking for and that you were gay. What are lesbians doing? Because I know I'm peacocking a little bit. Look at me right now. This is ridiculous. I'm letting women know that I'm gay. How do you peacock, little queers? Write in. Tell me your identity or whatever and tell me how you're peacocking out there. I know a lot of you are doing pins. Let's get some suggestions, because a lot of people write in and say, hey, how do I let other women know that I'm gay? And I always say, go talk to that woman. Ask her out, you little piece of shit. Coward! Ask her out. But if you're looking for peacocking advice, let's create a database of ways that we can let each other know that we're gay. Peacocking. No, peaklitting. That's what we're doing. We're peaklitting. Or cocking. Whatever. Okay. Have a good week, everybody.